Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Mike, Max, Sid Hartman, Dave Mona. It is the Sports Huddle. Cole Stewart got his chance to pitch twice this past week for the Minnesota Twins. And Cole, I had a long visit with you the other day. And I know last night didn't go as well as you wanted in the third inning and all those things. But before we get into that, you have such an appreciation for this opportunity, being called up and getting a chance to pitch in the big leagues. Explain what this past week has been like. In independent of performance, explain what this last week has been like for you to get the call and to be a big leaguer.
It's been a whirlwind. Obviously extremely excited and very, you know, thankful for the opportunity and obviously upset with the way things went yesterday, but you know that there's some adjustments I need to make, and you know I know what I need to do moving forward, and I'm excited for the next opportunity.
Cole, they announced an attendance yesterday of about 31,904. How many of them were friends of yours and family?
I had a lot more, you know, for my debut in Detroit, but I probably had 15 to 20 other family members that were here that came up and saw me, so. That was pretty special, but, you know, I couldn't hear the 15, you know, it was loud. The Twins fans really came out and supported as well. It's just unfortunate we couldn't get them a win.
What's it like though, when you're waiting to go down to the bullpen, take your shot, and out on the field is Jack Morris speaking to the crowd, and he's got Dave Winfield and Paul Molitor by him and a whole bunch of others. What's that like for you to witness that last night?
You know, he got his number retired in Detroit, and then.
Right. You did the Jack Morris twice, didn't you?
Yeah. So, really cool. I obviously wasn't around whenever he was pitching. I think somebody told me that I was not born, you know, whenever his last pitch was thrown, or maybe I was just born. I can't remember which one it was. I think he might have just started his last game in the World Series or something. I heard some crazy stat, but. Awesome. I mean, the guy, you know, just hearing all the stories around him about, you know, for the last week, it seems like he's been a huge topic of discussion around the locker room, and just unbelievable, unbelievable guy. And, you know, everybody talks about his mindset, and that's kind of the mindset that I think you need to have going into a start. I mean, that guy was in full attack mode. He didn't care what anybody, you know, was doing around him. And it was him versus you, and he was going to do everything in his power to make sure that he won those battles. And what a good role model for me to look up to, and I couldn't be more happy for him.
We're talking with Twins pitcher Cole Stewart. Cole, it's been reported in the paper, but maybe our listeners haven't heard. Could you go through how you learned that you were coming up to the Minnesota Twins after a substantial amount of time in the minor leagues?
Yeah. So my parents, you know, my parents like to come see me a lot, but this summer I'm one of seven kids and they're really busy. And so I was in Rochester a week and a half ago, and they decided to finally, and I was really loving Rochester. Rochester is such a beautiful place. And there were some, you know, the heat in Houston is just terrible right now. So, and the weather in Rochester is just a little bit better. So they snuck out of the heat and were coming to see me for the first time, actually, and they had been there for about a day, and we went and met for breakfast, and I called them, and I said, this place closes in the next hour. It's not open very long, and so it's kind of crazy. We all rushed in a car. You know, my parents had a rental car, and they met us at the breakfast spot, and as soon as we sat down in a booth, my wife and I and my two parents, I got a phone call from a Ohio area code, and I knew that our manager was from Ohio, so I missed the call, actually, and he sent me a text and said, hey, give me a call back. And I'm like, you know, I look at my parents and I said, this is either really good or really bad, so you guys just be prepared for anything. And I called him, and he told me the news, and it was just unbelievable. I just couldn't believe it.
What did you do? I mean, did your parents there to celebrate? A few tears?
Oh, yeah, everybody in the restaurant was like, what is going on over there? I mean, nobody even knew. You know, nobody. It's awesome about baseball. You can go anywhere and be anonymous, especially when you're in the minor leagues. But, yeah, I mean, it was just like, you know, what's going on over there at that table? And my parents just freaking, I don't think my parents could hold it. They just told everybody in the dang restaurant.
So, Cole, what do you do? I mean, do you get a phone call that says, we've got you on a 2 o'clock flight or something?
Field, but in, you know, in cases of emergency, you know, Mejia went down and they just, I don't think they were really, I think they expected him to make that start. And it was just kind of, you know, it was that early morning phone call that you don't really ever expect to get. But yeah, I mean, they said, they basically told me, hey, this is when you're starting Sunday against Detroit. And, I found out Friday morning. So they said Saturday, you know, we'll get your flight set up and everything and get in contact with Mike Herman, our travel guy, and who's awesome. And, you know, it just, everything else kind of just starts to fall into place from there. But obviously when the big fish kind of hits the pan, it's just like, wow, you just can't believe it.
What have you learned in your two starts?
You know, obviously, every level that you make, every level that you go up, the guys get better and better, and there's certain adjustments you're going to have to make. I mean, yesterday, you know, my fastball command was terrible, and I just kept falling behind guys. And when you're in the big leagues and these guys are as good as they are, you just can't be 2-0 and 3-1 as often as I was, and I paid the price for it. And up here, you know, you just got to get ahead, and you got to trust yourself. You got to attack, and you know, I just got out of my game a little bit yesterday, and but there's some adjustments I think I can make. You know, I think a lot of the things that I can control, I didn't do a good job of yesterday, and moving forward, I know that you know, those in-game adjustments that I'm going to have to make are important, and I'm going to have to pay attention to those and get those fixed in this next bullpen session.
Cole, you spent most of the season in Rochester. Can you remind our listeners, since it's been a while, what it's like to have a healthy Byron Buxton in center field for a pitcher?
Yeah, I mean, so when I got up there, you know, he was good, and then he went down on the DL for a little bit, but now he's back, and oh my gosh, when that guy is in center field and he's healthy, it's almost like if you just see the ball go up in the air, as long as you don't think they got it good enough to get it out of the yard, man, it's going to be caught. So,
yeah, you get a gold glover in the Triple-A, huh?
Say what?
You get a gold glove major leaguer to play for you in Triple-A. That's pretty good.
Unbelievable. Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Pretty special talent.
So going forward, what happens now? Is it a lot of work with pitching coaches? Is it a lot of video work? What's next?
Well, you know, I mean, you can't. The worst thing that you can do, I think, is overthink it and put too much emphasis on certain things. But you know, I've had plenty of. There's been plenty of times in my career where I've had bad starts or back-to-back bad starts. I mean, I started the year in AAA, whenever I got called up to AAA this year, both of my starts, they weren't good. You know, I mean, they weren't terrible, but they weren't good. And you know, you got to be able to make those adjustments. You just can't have, you can't let this thing steamroll and start to get, you know, let it get in your head and all that. So I think that baseball, you know, it's such a game of inches. They're really small adjustments. I think that as long as we make sure that we're focusing on the right things and making sure that I get that fastball command back and then get back to attacking hitters, I think, you know, things will start to work out for me.
Cole, are you appreciative of the Twins? You know, there's been kind of a history not only with the Twins, other clubs. People get one chance, they come up, they throw, doesn't go well. Sometimes even if it does, they're back down a day later. It looks like they've made a commitment to give you at least three, maybe four starts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what level you're at. You know, you're never going to be guaranteed anything in this game, and everybody that's in this game knows that. And I'm not sure, you know, what their plan is moving forward. I'm going to continue to prepare myself exactly the way that I do. I've had plenty of ups and downs in this game, and I'm not going to get myself down over one or two bad starts. And if they decide that they're going to go somewhere else in a different direction, then I'm going to continue to do my job. I mean, my job is to prepare myself to be the best I can every 5 days, and until I'm told differently, that's what I'm going to do.
Appreciate it. Appreciate your honesty, and it's refreshing to visit with you, sir. Good luck in your next start, and thanks for giving us some time today.
No problem. Thank you, guys. Anytime.
All right, that's Cole Stewart, and the Twins just made an announcement I think people will be interested in. Santana, Irvin Santana, 10-day disabled list, and they're bringing up Buznitz, a relief pitcher from AAA who we're very familiar with. Johnny Field sent down after last night's game, confirming the obvious. Robbie Grossman back from the 10-day disabled list. So two additions to the Twins roster, Grossman and Buznitz back on the roster. All right, back right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. Obviously, we just mentioned those two roster moves the Twins made today in the past 3 weeks. They made as many roster moves as any team in professional baseball. That obviously puts some challenges on the manager, even filling out a card of who's going to play in each game. Sid had a chance to catch up with Paul Molitor on that very same subject. Let's listen in.
How about the way this season's ending up? How do you manage it different?
Well, you know, I think we're still trying to win. I mean, that's the first goal each and every day. Because of the fact that we've, you know, fallen behind the pace in our division, it gives us opportunity to, you know, try a few different things, move people around, maybe give some people opportunity to pitch in different situations than they would otherwise. You know, competing every day, but still having an opportunity to learn more about a few of our guys.
How can the team have been so good at home and so poor on the road?
Well, our improved play started with that homestand right before the All-Star break, and we've been able to continue it here into the second half so far. You know, it's just one of those things when you have some younger players and different things, sometimes the road can be tough, and there's a comfortability at home that I think everybody has. Ideally, you'd like your team to be able to play well anywhere, but so far, at least over the past 6 weeks or so, we've obviously played better baseball here at Target Field.
So you still want to compete, maybe go against the winning teams and knock them off.
Well, yeah, we're going to play some good teams still in the races from here on out. You know, the Yankees and Houston and Oakland, some of those type of clubs. But, you know, we still have a lot of games against our division, too. I'm not giving up any hope that we might not find a way to finish the season as strongly as we possibly can. You know, we haven't been 500 since early in the season. I think that would be a good goal for us here over the next couple of weeks to try to inch our way back to being a 500 team or better.
You got to maneuver that bullpen a lot, right?
Yeah.
How can work
it? Well, we lost a lot of people out there, and so we've had to kind of have other guys step into some different roles. And, you know, I think those guys are excited about the chance that they have to pitch maybe in later in games and games we have a chance to win. So we're just going to try to figure out the best way we can each and every day.
How about Forsyth? How do you like him?
He's been great. I think he loves the game. I think he loves being at the ballpark. I think he takes a lot of pride in his work on both sides of the ball. Defensively, he's played great. He's gotten some really big hits for us. So far, my early impression is that he's a very solid all-around player.
It's amazing. The guy's got that attitude. Going from a World Series here.
Well, I think that's part of the old word, being a true professional, is that you don't control a lot of things, but each and every day, whether it's spring training or April or October or the World Series, you bring the same game, and he seems to do that each and every day.
Would you like to have him back next year?
I think that we'd have to be open to all those type of possibilities, people that are coming to the end of contracts, as we piece together, you know, the strategies that we want to head into the offseason, but I'm glad we're getting a good chance to get a good look at him.
How about Sano? He's turned it around pretty good.
Well, he's playing better. I still think there's more in there that we're trying to pull out over time. But I think he feels better about himself. His confidence has grown, and he's starting to get better results.
How about this player you got from the Yankees? What do you think of him?
Jay Cave?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got a chance to come over here. He's had quite a few at-bats. He's approaching 150 at-bats. He's finding a way to get it done. You know, I'm moving around in the outfield. And, you know, he's getting a chance to play almost every day. I mean, you know, some of the lefties, I've had to back him off a little bit, but, you know, hopefully that'll change over time, too.
Is there any chance of Buxton playing this year?
We're open-minded about it. I think the big thing is to make sure he's healthy. He got off to a good start last night, and, you know, we'll see how the next couple of weeks go for him. If that wrist cooperates and production is there, we'd have to think about what we want to do with him in September.
I got a hunch that was not Jay Cave that Sid was asking about.
You forget to get two from the Yankees.
That's right. Yeah, pretty good situation right there. All right, we're going to talk Viking football. We're going to take a little break here and come back, get our impressions of what we saw from the Vikings last night. We'll do that right after this. You're listening to Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back to talk a little bit of Viking football in this segment. Sid Hartman was in the press box when the Vikings upset the Bears in 61 in their opener. He was there last night. Sid, you think last night's game was among your top 10 favorite Viking games of all time?
Well, Jacksonville's a pretty good football team. Last year, they almost beat New England.
Yeah.
In the playoff. They played their quarterback for a half.
Mm-hmm.
Vikings played Cousins for no time. Then they played the
Semyon and Slaughter.
So second and third quarterback.
Yep.
But the Vikings, last year they won a game in the last minute. This year, just the opposite. But they didn't play. They got a lot of the penalties. That new penalty is brutal.
Well, they'll get it figured out. But
number 56 for the Vikings, made a good.
you and everybody that watched the play.
Yeah.
Everything gets 15 yards.
Yeah, it. You know, I'm in the official stats booth during the game, and we were adding up the penalties, and it was just a huge number. 13 penalties eventually for Jacksonville, Mike.
Zimmer had a good statement this week, though. He said, you know, let's not panic. It always happens when they implement new rules. They put it in, everybody goes crazy, and by the end of the year, we got it figured out. So I think that's the way he's trying to keep his team focused. But then they got a lot of injuries they got to deal with now. Again, we don't know the extent, but, boy, guys were down there for a while on the turf. It didn't look like they were the kind where you just
kept coming back out. Yeah. That's not a good sign. Sid, it looks like the Vikings may well have a third number three running back. We don't know which of the two it is, but we've gotten a pretty good look at two different guys back there, Rock Thomas and who's 44? Because we're blanking.
Mike Boone.
Both of those guys look like they can fill the role very well of the number three running back.
Well, Murray fumbled yesterday.
Twice.
That didn't help him any. But they got some back running backs. They're holding that Cook out, not playing him. And I don't think he'll play in the preseason until the St. Louis game.
There's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah, Mike, remember Adrian Peterson?
He had a slow start when he didn't take any hits during the preseason, remember?
Absolutely. I think that's the parallel everybody's thinking about. Viking defense still looks pretty good, though. So. I mean, even though when they were putting guys in you never heard of, but boy, they got some guys who can play on defense.
Yeah, the defense did play pretty good, but they just didn't play overall. Like Zimmer said after the game, I'm glad we didn't win that game. We didn't deserve to win it. He was really upset after the game.
But, you know, it's a preseason game, and it's just hard to get upset about preseason games. I guess you could get upset about all the injuries, Mike.
The injuries are concerning, and then that causes you always to rethink your whole strategy for how do we go about the preseason. It forces you to rethink about Dalvin Cook, and do we put him out there, and if we do, how many carries? And I don't know what the NFL is going to come up with there. If they're ever going to get to two preseason games or something like that to minimize it. But that's certainly, especially the offensive line, undermined. I had a nice talk with Mike Boone after the game. He's, you know, there's a lot of guys like that. And Dave, you remember when you were doing the Gopher games, how many really good running backs you'd see, and you'd never hear of them again in the NFL.
That's right. Yeah.
And he's just a free agent running back from Cincinnati trying to prove himself. He's a little bit older. Rock's got a little bit taller and a little bit bigger stride. But you can never tell with those guys, because if they're a half a step, if it's only good against the second and third teams, you never know how that's going to translate if they play with the first teamers.
I got to take a break here because PJ Fleck is going to be standing by to talk to us in about 2.5 minutes. Talk Gopher football as that season gets closer. So we'll take this break here, listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. To get hold of P.J. Fleck in the next minute or two. Obviously, the Gophers getting closer to that opening game. Sid, what do you see in practice so far out of the Gophers?
Okay,
P.J. No, he's not ready. I asked you what you see in practice so far. We'll let you know when we have the coach.
What are you seeing in practice
What do you think so far?
What do you think? You've seen them for a number of years. How do you break these practice sessions down?
Okay.
No. Not working. Mike?
I have not been out to practice yet because they make it difficult because a lot of them are closed, and so you end up at the Vikings a lot now that they're in Eagan. So I haven't seen them. I was talking to somebody that has, and they said they've got some quarterback complications, that it's going to be a while before they bring these around, and they see some young talent there. But it looks very much like raw right now.
No, Sid, we don't have them yet. We're making the call.
Do we know anything about New Mexico State? Has anybody done any homework?
I think we're their second game, aren't we?
Is that right?
I think they've got one of the really early openers. I think they play Wyoming. And, you know,
Craig Bowles
is coaching in Wyoming. Wyoming's a pretty decent football team. So we should know something about New Mexico State when they come in here. Gophers, I think the early line on that was 16.5
points. Okay, so that tells you what they think.
In favor of the Gophers. Although New Mexico State actually wound up finished last season pretty strong. Went to a bowl game, as I recall.
Remember, they came in and won a few years ago.
Yeah.
And
the Gophers, I read every national publication I can, and they all go right to the quarterback situation. When you have no quarterback who's ever taken a snap in college football, it's hard to, you know, rate the team, winning more games. They're at five, I think most of the prognostications are between 5 and 6 victories for the Gophers. That's probably about right, but so much depends on the quarterback play.
Yeah, and I think the over-under people are putting it 6 or 7, something like that, and that seems like a fair number right now. And I don't know, I haven't studied the Big Ten that much, except that you assume that some of the heavyweights, and you're seeing, you know, a couple of coaches that are on the sidelines right now, so we'll see where that goes.
All right, P.J. Fleck joins us right now. Sid?
Okay, P.J., overall, how do you think your practice has gone so far?
Well, I think we're getting better. Everything that we've wanted to execute this training camp, we've done efficiently. We're in the process right now. Being so close, probably almost 10, 11 days out, we want to be able to get our players' legs back. So we've got a bunch of walkthroughs today. We've got practice tomorrow and Tuesday. And then Wednesday, our players get a little bit of time off. So Wednesday and Thursday, we don't practice. So we want to make sure that we start transitioning now and getting our guys healthy and feeling really good. But I'm really proud of them. You know, it's such a young group that they've really taken on this entire challenge head on. And I'm really proud of them for doing that. They've made so much progress since the beginning of training camp. And a lot of our young guys, you know, they were already here or they came early as well. And I'm just really proud of the progress they're making.
What do you like about the quarterback so far?
Well, one thing I love about him is their leadership. You know, I mean, again, they are leading a football team in the Big Ten with zero performance to back them up. It's very difficult to do. It's like taking a CEO job or something like that and not having any experience prior to that in that field or that type of company. Very difficult to do. So they have zero performance to back it up, but they've done a great job of leading this football team. I think the team has responded really well to both of them. And as we continue to go forward, hopefully we'll have a starter here soon.
PJ, you mentioned, sitting, you were talking about quarterbacks. I got a text message yesterday that said, Annick said, get scholarship. And I immediately went online. That's a pretty interesting way that you presented a scholarship to one of the Annick dads.
I got the same text message you did. You know, we're not really allowed to give Zach one until January, truly, for the way our numbers have worked out with our initial scholarship. So I'm sure that'll come down the line at some point. I don't think that'll surprise anybody, especially if he turns out to be the guy down the road. So who knows? But the scholarship was given to his brother, Brock Anixton, who's a wide receiver for us. And, you know, when you have two of your sons at the University of Minnesota that are quote-unquote both walk-ons, that can be a little bit of a financial burden. Brock Anderson is a really good receiver. He's very
hey, wait a second. His dad is a really good farmer. I don't know how big a burden it is.
Hey, listen, that's a little bit different. So the whole thing is, you know, we just want to do something to create a moment memory for Brock, you know, and he comes to work every single day, comes to practice every single day, and works his tail end off. He's what our culture's about. He's a very, very shorthand receiver. Hopefully he gets some playing time this year. But again, it's one of those things that you want to create that moment of memory for the rest of his life. And, you know, it was funny when Zach got up, because, you know, we do everything we can to surprise him. You know, the element of surprise for young people is completely gone in 2018. So you got to be very creative and make sure you do everything that you can so they don't see it coming. But Zach stood up and said, you should have seen Brock's face. Like, you got a tattoo.
And then as he
started to go, and Zach said, I didn't tell mom and dad, you should have seen Brock's face at that point. Like, you are going, like, mom and dad are going to kill you. This is not good. And then as you started pulling back of his shirt up, it was so big. You could see Brock was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you got the tattoo that big. And then obviously when it was his, I think the whole reaction is so pure. You know, that's a real reaction from our football team. Everybody loves him. He deserves it. And it was a fun way to be able to award it that night. Because it's a very serious night as well, because a lot of our players are talking about the tattoos and the story of their life, which I think is really important for them.
Yeah, that video is online if people are interested. Sydney,
you have some transfers that are going to help you?
Yeah, we're going to have a few guys. You know, OJ Smith's going to be able to help us inside. Hopefully, Chris Williamson can do some things for us this year as well. We're really impressed with our young DBs. That's one thing we are. We know we have Antoine Winfield Jr., Antonio Chenault, Jacob Huff. But what I'm really, really surprised with and pleasantly surprised, and you want to be pleasantly surprised with your freshman. You think you know what you have. And then, we got four guys that can really play back there and are going to have an opportunity possibly to play as freshmen. Hopefully Chris can help us as well and to be able to provide some more depth in that secondary.
Is corner an easier position for a freshman to play because you can simplify it and just say you got him, or am I oversimplifying it?
Well, I think you're oversimplifying it a little bit in terms of, you got this guy. But it's close. It would be a little bit easier to play than our safety position. You know, our safety position's got to learn a little bit more. It's a little bit more linebacker mixed with a corner, right? So it's a combination of two positions in our system. A corner is the corner. Because you got to have run fits. You've got to be able to do those things like that. But what I'm really impressed with our freshman DBs is they're physical. You know, these guys aren't just cover corners. They can run. You know, Terrell Smith runs a 10-3, 400 meters. But he can hit you, too. And that's what we had to find out all through training camp. Well, these young guys that can cover and can run, can they hit? Can they fill gaps? Can they help us in run support? And they've proven they can so far.
Last year, you were great at defense against the pass, but not a good against the run. You got Winfield healthy, Cashman healthy, and Barbara healthy. Will that help you improve the run defense?
Well, yeah, I think one of the reasons why we were so good in the pass is because everybody could run it so well, they didn't have to pass it. We've got to get better, and we know that. We didn't have a lot of depth on defense last year at all, and that's the whole part of recruiting, this 2018 and this 2019 class, to be able to bring depth to a team that's really young, really inexperienced, and has a lot of depth issues that we were brought here to help and contribute to and fix, and we will. It just takes time to be able to do that. But I'm really proud of the progress Rob Smith and our defensive coaches are making on our defense. They're playing way more cohesively than they did last year, and I think that's a combination of not only our talent getting better, our offseason workout in terms of developing those guys, also recruiting, but it's the second time around for most of these guys. They really understand the defense. They're not just learning it. They're mastering it within the system, and they're playing with way more instincts this year than just learning how to do something and just making sure I just did my job. Last year was all about just I did my job. You know, now it's about how do I own my job? You know, how do I make sure that I'm not replaceable when I step on that football field? And I think our team's taking the next right step towards that.
What's Seth Green look like as a tight end to you?
I'm sorry, say that again, Max.
What does Seth Green look like as a tight end to you? You know, I watched him in high school, just an athletic kid in basketball, and of course he was quarterback at that time. How is he translating that? How is that coming?
Well, I think it's very seamless for him, to be honest with you, so far, because he's so athletic and he's so talented. I think one of the biggest things he's going to have to adjust is the physicality of the tight end position in our system. And he is a very physical player. He's not afraid of anybody. He will hit you. It's just now it's the technique. It's the hand placement. It's the proper footwork. It's the first step. It's being attached and then split out. He's in a completely foreign area than just being a quarterback. But again, we have a lot of things we're going to be able to do with this young man, not just the tight end position. So he's worked incredibly hard. He's been very motivated with the change. He's been an incredible teammate and an incredible leader with the change. And I think he's going to help us. If the change didn't make us a better football team, I wouldn't have moved him. But the change made us a better football team. And the selfless mindset that he had to do it, I truly appreciate it.
PJ, 2 years ago, near the end of the year, a lot of people fell in love with the play of Blake Cashman. Came out of nowhere. What sort of role do you expect him to play this year?
Oh, huge role. I mean, he's one of the most athletic linebackers I've been a part of, whether it's the National Football League, whether that's college football. He is so instinctual. He plays really hard, and he's a great teammate. And you're going to see him do a lot of different things. You know, last year he played behind John Celestine, so he didn't play a ton. He played, but he wasn't a significant role. Well, he has a huge role this year. He's maybe one of the most significant players we have on our entire football team. Special teams, defense, the creativity we can have with him doing multiple things because how fast he is. And usually you don't have that. You know, you're a linebacker for a reason. Yeah, you're fast, you can run, but you're not as fast as the safety. Blake Ash was just as fast as some of our safeties, so if not faster. So we're going to be able to be very creative with him as we continue to go. And then you add that with Antoine Winfield Jr. You know, we're not a huge defense in terms of size. We're not. We've got to continue to develop. We got to continue to recruit to the size that we want to be able to plug into our scheme. But one thing this team can do is they can run. And I call it run. Like they can run. And that's what we have to really hang our hat on this year.
What would you how would you grade the offensive line coming up so far?
They're improving every single day. You know, one thing I thought that we didn't do very good job of last year was playing cohesively. You know, we weren't one unit working together. And that takes a long time. It takes a lot of trust. It takes a lot of responsibility, accountability. And then now Brian Callahan just they've had their second offensive line coach, and now Brian's going to be their offensive line coach for a long time. And I'm really proud of the progress they've made, not just schematically, not just technique and fundamentals, but, again, playing together. We're not where we need to be. We're not. I'm not saying that, you know, this is the greatest offensive line in the country. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is they're making huge strides to get better every single day. And that's what I love about our football team. That's what I love about this football team. What we talk about maturity is what they have to do is what they want to do. This team is starting to become very mature, and that's the whole talk this year is a race to maturity. We're so young, we're so inexperienced. I think we're the third youngest team in America, most inexperienced team in America. Well, for us to be able to win, we have to be mature. And one thing about that offensive line is that they're starting to understand that. Are we there yet? No, but at some point you would like them to be there, and we're getting closer.
BJ, always a pleasure. Tim Murray loves you to come in at Murray's. And all the people are eating, want to talk to you. And I want to remind people, they got some Ray Tease ticket deals. You better get them while you can because they won't be available. Thank you.
You got Heather and I went to Murray's the other day, Sid. We sat in your booth. Keep rowing the boat, guys.
Hey, thanks, PJ.
Yeah, you mom. See ya.
All right, that's PJ Fleck. I've got a text message or someone asking us to repeat the moves the Twins made this morning. I'll tease you. I'll do that right after the break. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. As we return, I will take care of that text message. We got people said, I just caught the end of the fact that the Twins traded somebody. Well, that's not quite true, but the Twins did make a couple of moves this morning. Irvin Santana, just not himself since that injury. He goes on the 10-day disabled list, and that's effective immediately. Robbie Grossman comes back up from AAA, where he finishes his rehab assignment. Right-handed reliever Alan Buesnes, who does great at AAA, he's coming back up to take Santana's place. And Johnny Field sent to Rochester after the game yesterday. That will open up the spot for Grossman. So actually four players involved in that. One of the new players that Sid talked to Paul Molitor about a little bit earlier was Logan Forsythe. A lot of people thought that was just kind of a salary adjustment move when they made the deal with the Dodgers. Well, Forsythe got five hits in a game the other day, doing very well for the Twins at second base. Sid had a chance to sit down with him. And before you listen to the beginning of this, because there's kind of a fun exchange between Sid and Logan Forsythe, the Twins second baseman. Let's listen.
How you doing?
Good, Sid Hartman. I've been in the newspaper business for 74 years.
74?
I'm 98 years old.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Good for you, man. Yeah. Still doing it.
Mr. Forsythe, when you were told that they're moving from the Dodgers here, how tough was that?
It was tough. I think it was more tough about leaving a team that we had kind of built up a chemistry and a friendship and kind of a family to just like that with a phone call and I'm gone. And when trades happen, I mean, that was my first trade in season. The only thing I didn't really like is how quick I needed to get out of there. I didn't have enough time to really say goodbye like I wanted to, but, you know, we still keep in touch. I'll be in touch with those guys over there. But on the other end, like, I think this is a good move for me and my family. And these guys have been more than welcoming since I've stepped in this clubhouse, and it's been great.
You had a chance to play in the World Series last year, right?
Yes, sir.
That must have been a big thrill.
That was that's what you play the game for, man, to get into moments like that and opportunities like that to win a championship. That's what it's all about.
Kind of unfair to do that to a guy.
No, I wouldn't look at it as unfair. I look at it as business. And you know this business for as long as you've been around. There's plenty of trades that happen, plenty of guys that want to make moves, and that's their decision.
Had a very good start here, hitting over 400 for a while.
Yeah, well, it's luckily the approach is transitioning into the game, and I'm just happy that I'm having some success for these guys.
Was it tough going from the National League, American League?
No, not for me, and it wasn't tough coming from the AL back over to the NL. You know, there's a lot more double switching involved. There's a little bit more, like, utilization of your bench, but no, I don't think there's too much difference besides a couple extra moves made in the game.
How do you like being with this team?
I've always liked Minnesota. I've always liked coming here. I've always loved playing in the stadium. It's beautiful. Fans have always been good. And I've known some of these guys from past teams and playing against these guys, and it's a good squad.
That's Logan Forsythe. I love that. It's 74 years. That's pretty impressive. Sometimes we edit out some of those things, but we heard that when we had a vote. It was 2-0. We didn't have said Mike and I both said, yeah,
she doesn't get a vote on those.
Now we got to leave that in. So good engineering work on that one. All right. I'm going to give the phone numbers. We are going to take calls in the last segment here. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Call us during the break. We will talk to you right after this. Sports Hill and Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, guys, we are back. I'm always reluctant. Sometimes I don't know the source. I just got a text message, which is kind of interesting. It says, Stefan Gonzalez is in the clubhouse and will start Monday's makeup game versus the White Sox. You can bring up a 26th player to pitch in those games. And when we had Derek Falvey on last week, he indicated there'll be some auditions. Cole Stewart is going through one. The number one pitcher right now in the farm system who has not appeared yet is Stefan Gonzalez. It looks like Gonzalez is going to be the starting pitcher for the Twins on Monday. So thanks for that text message. All right, we promised we'd go to the phones at number 651-989-9226. First caller is Clancy from Hutchinson. Clancy, good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, guys. A couple position questions for the Vikings. Will Marcus Schells be back as a punt returner and the place kicker? Is there going to be a change there? And I guess, are the Vikings satisfied with the personnel they have, or come cut down time, will they add some extra players?
I'd be shocked if Daniel Carlson is not the kicker for the Minnesota Vikings based on the conversations that I've had. Schells they like as the punt returner, and they are incredibly impressed with Mike Hughes, not just his athletic ability, which they think is great, but they say he gets to the meetings early. He's got his pen and paper out. He doesn't talk much. He listens. He has been better than they expected as a first-round draft pick and what he's offered inside that organization, according to the people that I talked inside it.
And so the second part of that conversation, Clancy's question, might the Vikings pick up somebody later on in the training process off the waiver wire, depending on injuries? They do that almost every year. There are always one or two. Somebody gets cut who they've really liked for a couple of years, and they'll invite that person in for a look-see.
They picked up a guard the other day.
Yeah from Phoenix.
They're going to have to pick up some offensive linemen. If you check the number of offensive linemen who have little experience on this team, they got about five offensive linemen who really have experience, and they're going to have to find some help. I hope they get the center back.
What is the
They told me the other day
Sunday.
No, he was not in uniform.
They told me the other day that they expect him back soon.
Well, that's good news because he's a good player. He was a great pickup, and they definitely – so that would be good if they got Elflein back.
They need a center in the worst way. Yeah. They got a guy that hasn't played at all any place. The left guard, we'll have him on the air today.
Compton, he's going to be on the 11 o'clock hour.
he's doing pretty good.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
So far, they got a couple other guys who were last year who had pretty good years, but overall, that offensive line is not good.
It's not filled with household names. There's
not as good as last year.
But, you know, last year, this was a patchwork thing last year. You know, they put it together last year. Elfline, nobody knew if he could play. Easton, nobody knew if he could play. Remmers and Reef, you brought in there. Berger had some experience. But this was hardly a really good pounded up and down. Our offensive line is going to be good. Early, these were a bunch of new guys, and they found a way to bring it together.
Early in the season, until they got people hurt, they were good.
Yeah,
they had a good offensive line.
You saw who was blowing the gyro horn yesterday. Is Berger. Looked at him on the field. I said, I hope they remember his phone number. He looks great.
Yeah, he's been here during training camp. He came and saw the facility, too. If he's going to hang out this much, you might as well throw him a uniform and say, go play.
I saw talking down the press box. I turned to my right, and I saw people noticing he was out there. He looks like he always did. He looks like he's in prime form. You have to wonder, you know, he might be a phone call away, because here's a guy who was unheralded, but he's been a big contributor to that offensive line in two different positions.
Yeah, remember, that was he's such a down-home folksy guy living out in Michigan and just a regular guy. But he was the reason they got rid of John Sullivan, remember, because he was playing so well at that time that they felt comfortable enough to cut Sullivan, who I don't even know if he's still in the league. He was with Washington last I saw.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. And those are tough situations when you get a history of injuries like Sullivan had. It's hard for them to come back from that. I will tell you that we will go back to the phones in the sometime. I'm not sure exactly what time. I've got a couple of guests who we're not sure what time they'll call in the 11 o'clock hour. So when I give the phone numbers, make sure that you call in. In fact, I'll give it now if you want to write it down. 651-989-9226. You probably haven't memorized by now. Also, you can text us at any time you want. I love that Gonsalves text that we got, and I hope that proves to be accurate. We'll try to prove that in the next hour or so, but it looks like Steven Gonsalves is going to come up and pitch that makeup game on Monday for the Twins against the White Sox. We'll be back in the last hour. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.